What are you doing for your child on the physiological end to support the emotional and mental triangle? Where's the physical foundation down here? Not just working them out, but functionally working them out and balancing them. Secondly, replace your child for you. What are you doing for yourself to become the best of you from the functional movement standpoint? And then C, how do we train and be ready for this and don't take an emotional reaction? Actually, you know what? Have that visceral reaction. I dare you. What are you doing to train for the sport of autism?
How is it possible for a parent of a child with autism to become the superhero their child needs now? I'm Len.
And I'm Cass. When our son was diagnosed with moderate to severe autism, we went all in. We spent over a decade learning everything we could on how we could transform to help our son thrive. And guess what? He's doing it. This year, he ran for class president.
Each week on this podcast, we will be sharing the secrets needed for you to become the superhero your child needs.
If you want to learn how to tap into your innate superpowers to help your child thrive, visit AutismParentingSecrets.com. Hello and welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets. This is Cass and I'm so excited you're here today. This is episode 50 and the secret today is posture unlocks your power. But this episode's a little bit different. Check the show notes for the link to the video because there's parts of this that you'll want to watch as well. So get ready, get set, and here we go.
Hello and welcome to Autism Parenting Secrets. Today we're exploring how postural therapy can benefit you, the parent, as well as your child. And for the parent especially, it's definitely an area that might be really overlooked in terms of something else you can do from a self-care perspective. And for your child, it could be something to add in simple exercises that could definitely help overall wellness with no downside. So basically today, we're going to dive into something called the Egoscue method. And we have Brian Bradley, vice president of Egoscue, somebody that I know I first came into contact with at the Bulletproof conference. And he does these types of things. He's out there at conferences, Tony Robbins, Bulletproof. He works with the NFL. He's got 25 years of experience in this method and has just an incredible wealth of knowledge about how the body, if it's aligned, what a huge difference that makes. So I'll let Brian fill in any details that I missed, but otherwise, Cass and I couldn't be more thrilled to have Brian with us. Welcome.
I appreciate the time. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
We're excited you're here.
And, yeah, I'm excited
and we love Egoscue.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And remember, those of you on here, you're stuck with this face for a while. So I apologize. And for those of you who aren't watching this on video, you're going to wait. You need to get home and get this on video to watch it because we're going to go through some experiences as it relates to the physiological changes. I'm going to be referring to the blueprint behind me over my left shoulder, the spelling of the methods at the top, you know, that kind of stuff. I'll take you to my Instagram page. Because I need more followers, because it really doesn't mean anything, right? I'm not that narcissistic. But what it does is it gives me and sets the table for personalized conversations when you DM me there. I answer all my DMs to make sure that we make sure that you, the listener, get exactly what you're looking for and maybe not in such a public setting. So Egoscue was started in 1971 on a discovery when Pete Egoscue came out of the Vietnam War with injuries to his left side of his body. So he came out of the Marine Corps, still in the Marines, and they were bouncing him around medically, allopathic medicine, all that stuff, which I'm sure every mother and father on this podcast can understand, having been bounced around with the diagnoses in the family. So knowing that, we have firsthand experience from the founder of this method who built this entire thing with zero medical training, and I mean zero, but also zero blinders coming in to look at the human body from a holistic standpoint back in the 70s and 80s when holistic was foo-foo, voodoo, and some type of witchcraft. He's lucky that he wasn't strung up and tarred and feathered and whatever they did to witches back in the day, burnt at the stake, that's what it was. A big
or
A
drowned.
On his shoulder. Yeah, or drowned, something like that. So I like to call him the Witch King, and he just doesn't know that. So let's not let that get out there. But it's, you know, when you start thinking about this kind of stuff, I luckily ran into it 30 years ago this year when I was working in typical physical therapy and occupational therapy, helping out with that kind of stuff and talking to people about things like this. Like, what do you do when your body is deviating, your mind is deviating, and for sure your hormones are deviating? that's where we, you know, what we love now about the biohacking world is you can biohack your hormone response. You know, you can, there's a book on the market, which I highly suggest to everybody, called Why We Get Sick, about insulin resistance. I think it's a must for everybody, but it's a beyond a must for this group of people listening, because now you're not just talking about the types of food you eat. You're talking about the pancreatic response, the insulin response. And even though you have a healthy response, are you able to get the absorption rate to change the sugar response? And the sugar response on a diagnosed on the spectrum child can be a nightmare for people, which I'm sure people have done, and for the child especially. So we're not going to say get rid of all sugar and all that kind of stuff. I don't live there. You know, a nice bottle of Mexican Coca-Cola that has the regular sugar in it every once in a while with a good slice of pizza is amazing. Every day might set you off as it relates to your nutritional stuff. I know just enough about nutrition to be dangerous, but where my expertise is with Egoscue and this functional blueprint over my left shoulder. You need to be able to think feet straight, knees in line and straight, hips level and straight, shoulders level and straight, and from the side view, ankle, knee, hip, shoulder, ear, and the head not being carried forward 5 inches, making a 65-pound head load up that entire posterior chain, and then shortening these, which are all part of this upper and lower cross syndrome that I'm sure many people have been told, you know, with their physical therapists and occupational therapists. Well, my question, two questions. Let's make it three questions. What are you doing for your child on the physiological end to support the emotional and mental triangle? Where's the physical foundation down here? Not just working them out, but functionally working them out and balancing them. Secondly, replace your child for you. What are you doing for yourself to become the best of you from the functional movement standpoint? And then see, how do we train and be ready for this and don't take an emotional reaction? Actually, you know what? Have that visceral reaction. I dare you. What are you doing to train for the sport of autism? Now, how does that make you feel when I call autism a sport?
I would have been triggered initially, but now I can see the relevance of that reference.
I'm like, damn, it's a journey. Of course you need to be conditioned for it.
Great. But if you go back and look at your face, Len, when I first said that, you were like this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I said the sport of autism and you went.
That's my processing face.
That's okay. Processing face. Well, some people would call it their pissed off face.
Yeah.
Right. And I'll take either one because I want that reaction from the parent, and especially mom, because mom has a 9-month head start on loving this child and carrying it. Doesn't mean that she loves him more than you do, but she does. You know, let's be honest. Dad would be the one to go like this with any child. I ought to just give you this. Whereas mom would go, your dad's going to give you this, but I'm going to love you. You know, like there's a whole different programming there. So when I say the sport of autism, not to make light of it, because I guarantee you, you can probably tell the way that I talk. I guarantee it. When I was growing up, I was probably near the spectrum. There's not a question in my mind about it. No question. Definitely with ADHD learning stuff, because I could read, I'm not joking, I could read a book cover to cover 5 times and not learn squat. The whole book is highlighted yellow because every word was important. So I memorized, took a test, did fine. Did I learn? No. That's where Bulletproof came in, because on Bulletproof podcast, what do we have? Number 429, which is Mastering Posture Pain Performance. Dave and I spoke about what the Bulletproof coffee did for me at the age of 49, and now at 53, going 4 years into it every single day of my life. And what that amount of fat does in the morning is amazing on the hormonal response. So people can figure that stuff out on their own. That's somebody else's. Let me get that focus back. The camera is such high quality that it focuses on everything except for this beautiful face. So let's go back to the sport of autism. When we start talking about lifestyles and reactive natures, unfortunately, I don't have the spectrum or autistic child. So when I say unfortunately, I know there are parents who go, no, that's not unfortunate. You wouldn't want this or anything like that. I get it. But every parent has their own stuff going on with their own kids. Not that one is more important than the other. We do know the challenges that go with spectrum level or autism. And I would tell you that the better trained that you are in this position, then your reaction to it is less of a punch. It's like taking a punch with your gloves up and the headgear on going, aren't you going to hit me harder? Hit me harder, because you're so resilient to it, because your body is able to handle the blow on the physical end. And in that triangle, physical, mental, emotional, if you don't have that foundational response, you're in trouble. Now, there's one thing that's compounding this. And I showed you guys this picture earlier, but this is what's coming. This is the type of posture that's out there now for kids today. And they're on electronics, which are all of a sudden lighting people up, even when they don't have that diagnosis. So what you can expect by listening to this is I want you triggered a little bit. I want you to remember this podcast, happy or not happy, it's the truth. And I'm not your friend. I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you what you need to hear that's only going to enhance your reaction, and it might create a different thinking process for you on the actionable items that you have in your daily household that might give you a different response, which we're going to run you through when I do the closed eye sequence, balance, functional movement, and an emotional response to that. So Egoscue is all about this blueprint. That's it. All about the functional movement of the human body, restoring posture to help with preventative measures, to help with chronic pain, and to help with performance, which all of those 100% are important to every child, diagnosis or not.
Right.
So what question do you guys have for me that you want answered?
Well, I think from a parent's perspective, the idea of self-care is so usually the last priority. And so parents usually don't prioritize self-care for a lot of reasons. What I'd love for you to touch on is the idea that working and focusing on posture, how that can be done in such a short amount of time that there's just really no reason that you can't work it in. So when people hear self-care, they're like, I don't have time to go to the gym and my day is crazy. So what I love about Egoscue is not only the benefits, because we've seen all the benefits, but the idea that it does not take a large investment of time to really help your body just perform better. And that's all this is about. So I'd love to kind of seize on simple, practical things that parents can take away that can really make a difference, particularly if they do it every day.
Can you imagine what it's like? And maybe you can. When I say to you, every parent needs to read and understand the four agreements every day of their life, even if it means reading the book six times a year. Can you imagine what it's like to sit down and read Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl and get the positive out of it when you don't even have time to do anything else throughout the day?
Right.
Look, my mother had five children. I have four siblings next to me. So can you imagine what that household was like with one bathroom growing up? Ugly, 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 ugly. So we had seven people in a house, and my mom was that matriarch just crushing it from the queen standpoint. And that's what I mean by loving a child more than anything else in the world. So when I say train for the sport of autism, again, I want you to feel it. This is not a joke, but neither are my NFL guys going on the field training any differently for something that's very serious, because if they don't perform, they lose all contractual monies that are coming in and they're out of the sport and they can't handle that kind of stuff. So I view your sport as even a tier higher, because there's a calling in there now, not just, hey, can I throw a ball? It's, can I save a life? You know, there's a movie called, you guys probably saw it, Far From the Tree.
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, listen to me.
I'm writing it down.
so should everybody else listening to this. I was on the airplane flying to like Australia and I'm like, Far From the Tree. Okay. Ooh, there's the nut that fell far from the tree. Oh, hey, you're a blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay. And I'm watching it, and it's this gay gentleman who put this movie together to document his entire life of growing up gay in Blue Blood, New York, Hamptons, blah, blah, blah. And he said, I don't want this to be another gay film, you know, about, oh, feel sorry for me. He goes, that's not what it's about. So he did seven families or something like that. And one of them was the autistic child who was this big, this big, this big, this big. And when the kid gets to be 150 pounds and now he's stronger than mom, and I'm watching them all progress. A Down syndrome child amazing, who ended up living with a couple other Down syndrome kids in their own apartment, and how they progress. Oh God, it was amazingly uplifting, right? Well, how do you uplift the autistic moment and the therapies that they were going through and the failures they went through? And you could tell mom was just getting beat down. The family was. And so I'm watching, I'm like, this is very interesting. And I'm watching. Now picture me on an airplane, pre-COVID, it's packed. And I am blubbering, crying like an idiot. And I mean, like, this was unbelievable. I didn't give a shit. At that point, I'm like, I don't care. Because the message was so strong that there was a healer that came in, and mom and dad had to sit on the couch. Now, I can relate to this because I have the scoliosis clients coming in who always blame themselves, mothers, who always blame themselves for their child's diagnosis of the death sentence of scoliosis, which it's not a death sentence. It's a massive opportunity for that little teenager to take over her life or his life and now become more functional when every other kid is degrading, they're regrading everything and coming back and progressing.
Yep.
Even with that diagnosis. So autism is an opportunity, is another one of those triggers. Easy for me to say because I don't have the kid that has it, but I deal with this with parents all the time. So having watched this movie, this lady walks into her living room and says, "Mom and Dad, sit down on the couch and don't speak," which is exactly what I was doing with, "Mom, sit down over here and talk to the hand if you want to talk, because I don't want you answering your questions that I'm going to ask your daughter. I don't want you jumping to her protection. I need her to feel this. I need her to get into the moment." And this lady frustratingly talks to this kid, and she won't let him get away with the, "No, I don't want," you know, he's fighting, won't get away, won't let him get away. And he starts to press the buttons. And you just look like there's random. And if I remember right, he wrote, "Be patient. I'm in here." I mean, seriously.
Amazing.
So when you have an opportunity, like I do on a daily basis, to add to someone's life, whether you do this with your child or not is up to you, but for yourself, it is, I'm not asking. You're going to do this. It'll be one exercise a day if you have to. It'll be you contacting me going, "I'm at my wit's end. My back is killing me. I can't handle another thing on top of what I'm already responsible for. And I caused this." So this is that Goodwill Hunting moment where we're going, it's okay. It's not your fault. Good luck telling the person who believes that, unless they make that 2-millimeter shift psychologically over to that. And that's 50% of my work, because what Peter Goskew developed in the method was the physiological anchor for the psychological emotional change. And it's not like Stuart Schmale standing in front of Saturday Night Live going, "People like me, I dress well, I'm a positive person." It's not incantations like that. They're important, I guess. But I'm telling you, they're gonna fall into some major potholes if you don't run that sealer over top of the potholes before you walk into them. And that's what this method is all about. Let me give you a picture real quick, just to give you, because some people might be like, "Is this psychological or is it physiological?" It's both, but here's a difference before and after on the same visit.
Oh, amazing. Wow.
Tell me the guy in red could not be diagnosed with autism with that posture.
Sure.
Because that's what you see. If I showed you Down syndrome, you'd go, "Oh, of course, right?" Here's another amazing one. And this guy's way up there. That's a before and after with severe scoliosis.
Amazing.
Like, this is not a joke. When you say, "Well, what about scoliosis?" Scoliosis is one of those things that idiopathically changes the spine, which now, well, you know, there's really no cure for that. Let me find out where she is. Here's a young girl in 2 weeks at the age of 13, from purple to white. Look at the difference in how much her spine looks less curved.
Yeah.
Why is that such a powerful picture? For us, it's the objection. "Wow, look at that picture. Wow, she looks amazingly better. Good job, Sally." Here's a better question. "Sally, why did you put in the work?" When you can get her to answer that, oh, that's easy. Because I have scoliosis and I have an opportunity with scoliosis that I have to now train for, the sport of scoliosis. "I can't sleep." This goes to the parents. "I can't sleep." Well, you get rid of that mound in your upper back, finally, without you trying to stand up, without somebody poking you in the back, and it does it on its own, everything changes, including your breathing. This guy sleeps so much better without that pregnancy that it's in his upper back.
Wow.
Amazing.
So I can't tell you guys how excited I am for this group that we're talking. Like I've probably done 100 podcasts since and webinars since COVID started, literally 100. I don't know how this pretty face just gets out there, but it does. But these are the typical results off of a 58-year-old Ironman triathlete before and after in 12 minutes.
Look at that.
Which one do you think can handle the blows coming at him? Oh, and thank God he had that tattoo, because it's almost hard to believe that it's the same dude.
Yeah, it looks like a totally different person. Yeah.
I put that on my Instagram as father and son, because that's what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
So when you guys come in and you start talking about this, I know you're deeply involved in this from a let's help the parents be the best of themselves. I am 100% in agreement with you.
Well,
100%.
And part of it is, it's like, you know, the parent to be their strongest self to help their child, to navigate for their child, because everyone's child is different and everyone's path is different. And if you don't transform into your strongest self, so as you're showing, you know, from a posture strength, but like, this is what the transformation, what we've learned on our journey to support our son, who went from moderate to severe to mild, like transformation is possible, but you need to be willing to do the work.
If I could help you on language.
Sure. Love it.
So you want me to do more work?
Well, I think it's just, how do you lay the foundation? I always love to lay the foundation. So how are you laying that foundation to set yourself up for success on the journey? Because if you set yourself up for success on the journey is going to feel easier. It's going to, you're going to be able to navigate whatever comes your way with, you know, ease and grace, or greater ease and grace.
If somebody said to me, Brian, you don't know what it's like. I have a child who went from mild to severe and blah, blah, blah. It's like, oh my God, what an opportunity. Congratulations. Because God, whatever one you believe in, wouldn't have given it to somebody else who couldn't handle it. You know, and I know you're already talking to them that way, but that's a true belief. Yeah. Do you really believe that the God that you're praying to, whatever one he or she is, would allow the wrong person to be given a child with this diagnosis? Not a chance. So life's happening for you, right? Not to you. So the only reason I was telling you about that, I'm not busting on you about the language. It's just at Agoski, we've had to become expert listeners. And I look for the opportunity to say, ooh, yeah, let's say we were talking about that. And you're like, yeah, I gotta do more. I gotta take more responsibility. And I hear that from mothers and fathers all the time. And I'd say, that's awesome that you want to take more responsibility, because you don't have enough on your plate already, right? And they're like, well, wait, I thought you wanted me to take more responsibility. No, I really don't. I'd rather have you clear the desk of all that responsibility that you believe is responsibility. Clear it. Because if you call it responsibility, it comes with a negative hormonal reaction in your system. Thoughts are cellular. So responsible for this, responsible for that. When you take responsibility out and say, thank you, God, for giving me this gift. Like, I have a 19-year-old kid who just came home from college. He's away in Vegas for 2 days training with some people over there because he plays D1 soccer. My stress level went down and I realized I have a free living kid, 19, who just showed up in my house again after living in college, who has his own outer lifestyle stuff going on. And here I am trying to control it again. And I'm the one suffering from it. I can promise you that. So at some point I just go like this. I don't care that you didn't come home two nights this week. I know you're not stupid, correct? Yeah, of course, Dad. I go, and if I catch you doing anything like drunk driving, I'll snatch the life right out of you, right? Like it's not an option to screw up like that. It's the hardcore parenting that old school dads did when they'd walk up and belch you in the back of the head. Well, I would never do that, but I would grab the back of your hair and pull it up so you'd feel, okay, I screwed up somewhere. Plus you can't call CPS if I just do that. So let's say, right. You know, that's what I got away with when we were younger. So emotionally taking these families to a place of, and guys, I'm not downplaying this diagnosis to make it, Brian just doesn't understand it. I clearly don't, and I never will like you guys. I get it. But what I clearly do understand is what you're reacting to from a psychology, physiological support mechanism as a parent. So you guys want the best for that parent. And in about a minute here, we're going to stand up and do a couple movements and ideas and realizations that will come out of this. I will tell you, and I'm not here to plug this book because it's old, but you can go onto Amazon, Pain-Free for Women by Pete Egoscue and Roger Gittins. And you know it's a good book because it's a women's book written by two dudes. So there's, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? But I will tell you, it is a game changer as it relates to pre-pregnancy, during pregnancy, all the trimesters, post-pregnancy. What do I do with my kid when they're 1 year old, 2 year old, 3 year old, 7 year old, 10 year old, whether they have a diagnosis or not? And trust me, all kids right now have a diagnosis of I love my cell phone. That's a diagnosis because your brain is reacting to that. I need it. I need it. I need it. I need it. You're being, the phone is like being born to a mother with a crack problem.
Yeah, it's an addiction.
It is true addiction.
True addiction. So my recommendation, don't ever give your kid a phone until the age of 16. If you could get away with that, because my kid at 11, when I thought, well, I'll be able to know where he is all the time because I have Find My Family on his phone. I'm just going to give it to him. Within the first 2 months, he saw things on the phone that I didn't see till my mid-30s. There's enough weird stuff going on in Germany that shouldn't be on the phone. It's weird. And he saw, he's like, Dad, I already saw that last year. I'm like, you're 12, bro. How are you emotionally dealing with what you just saw and not being shocked by it? It's amazing to me. So that book I highly recommend. The other book is back here, the Pain-Free book. If you're looking for, hey, what do I do for myself, from Pete Egoscue, that's on Amazon too. But the Pain-Free for Women book is a very good one based on, you know, going through menopause, going through late life, going through. Let me ask a question. How long did your son crawl?
What do you think?
Well, it actually was longer than it was supposed to be because he started walking and then kind of regressed all at the same time. So it took an additional 3 months to walk. So he probably crawled for like 5 months.
Okay. So let's say he went from 8 months until what, 14, 13 months crawling?
More like 14, but yeah.
Okay, more like 14 total with a walking stage in between.
Well, he would stand, he would practice standing and was about to take steps, and then his health crashed. And then everything kind of regressed. He lost his words and other things happened.
Listen to me when I tell you this. I love the idea that he went from practicing standing and degressed back into the crawling stage. I understand the other stuff that came with it. I do. So I can't even say I love that. I love the idea because I did the same thing to my kid. So don't tell CPS this. My kid went from crawling 8, 9, 10, call it 9, 10, 11, 12 months, and then he starts to do this. Why? Why does the child stand up at that point?
They're just modeling what they see.
100%. If I'm 6 foot, he's always like this. So why not get up there? Kid's smart. This is killing my neck, you moron. I'm going to stand up. This makes it a lot easier, right? So I change the game. He'd go to stand up. I'd give him a little tap in the back of the head and knock his butt right back over. And then I got on the ground to play with him so he could play on the ground. So they make those tubes that accordion together and they crawl up and you put them in your closet, those tunnels.
Yeah, we had
I bought two of them and put his food at the other end and said, you have to earn it. Now, why? Because the cross patterning of left arm, right leg, right arm, left leg, and the left and right brain having to work with that, and the lungs reacting, and the rotational mechanism, and what happens at the diaphragm is absolutely critical. So one of my friends, a couple of them just had newborns. You know, when you talk to them, every female in my life's going, we should get them some booties and some really cool socks and maybe a pair of Nikes that's really cool, maybe some Michael Jordans. I'm like, what? He's not even one. Knock it off. What we're going to purchase them are those tubes from, I'm going to be the weirdo uncle that sends you these tubes because I want you to experience the crawling mechanism longer. All the research is out there. So mine crawled probably till 15, 15 and a half months. So call it 9, maybe 6.5, 7 months of crawling. Mm-hmm. And from a standpoint of what I also did is I took him to the park all the time, like all the time. So when I say my kid didn't know race, he didn't know race. He knew that kid was Asian. He knew that kid was Mexican. He knew that kid was Black, but he didn't know it in a way that, oh, they're different from me. Now, don't get me wrong, especially in today's environment, there are differences and you have to recognize the beauty of each one, right? But I'm also not going to look at you as different than me. You're a man just with a different skin color. I understand what you've gone through different than maybe what I did. I do understand that. But here's the physiological difference of my son's. Look at his body development at the age of 14 with his elite level soccer player stand around him. Look at their builds compared to his.
Yeah, very different.
That's with zero weightlifting. Same year, here's him on the performance end, back in the white shirt. He's the very last runner in the white shirt in a 200-meter run.
Smoking him.
It's a 200-meter run, first track meet ever. All he said to me was, how do I run faster? I said, pump your arms, your legs will catch up. And he won by 45 meters. He started slowing down right there because he felt bad for the other runners. Of course, he and I had a discussion about that and said, well, in sports, you kick your opponent while they're down. So we solved all that. So it's, and I don't mean physiologically. When you're on the field, it's a different mentality, which is why he's playing at the D1 level, because he has a different mindset. So the D1 level for all your listeners is the sport of autism. And let's help you support this child in a way where when you're irritable because your body's failing you, you can't handle what's being thrown at you at the level that you could. So let's put up a barrier called the Egoscue method. And I expect to hear from people off of this when I put my Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, email, whatever you want. And I expect them to go, well, what about me? Here's what I have going on. Great. Let me take a look at you on Zoom. I'll give you the no BS opinion. And then you can decide from that point if you want to be part of this program or not. Because I don't want people who are coming to me saying this, fix me, Brian. You're putting all the onus on me, which means if it doesn't work, it's all on me. And you didn't do the exercises? But I got to get better at my communication so that you view missing a day of exercising like missing a day of brushing your teeth. You start going, something doesn't feel right. Yep. There's like hair on my teeth now. So you go back and brush and floss and you save those teeth. It's the same thing for your ankles, your knees, your hips, your shoulders, and your spine. So do you mind if I use you guys as the models?
Sure.
Okay. So let's get you to stand up, move the chairs, whatever you're doing, away from the camera. Stand back by the bookshelves and you got to stagger. So let's put you guys. Okay. So she's in back, you're in front. Good. And now just stand away from the bookcase and relax off of it. Your shoes are off?
My shoes are on.
Okay. Let's take your shoes off.
Yep.
And this goes for everybody listening. I want you up out of that chair built by the lowest bidder. I want you to take your shoes off. You're in your house. Close the drapes if you have to, because I'm going to be having you do some crazy stuff. You don't want your neighbors judging you. And now with your eyes closed, where's your body weight from left to right? Which foot do you feel is carrying most of your body weight?
Right.
And a little bit more right.
Okay. Now, how about from front to back in each foot? Which foot do you feel is carrying it in the heel or in the balls of the feet? Or is one in the heel and the other one's in the ball of the feet? Or where are they?
For me, one's in the heel and on the left, it's in the toe.
Okay.
My left is more the ball of the foot, and then my right is front and heel.
So you guys are almost the same. Loaded right, more in the heel. Loaded left in the ball of the foot.
Yep.
See, now we know why you're still married. This is good. Just because of being balanced. Okay, so keep your eyes closed. You have the balance from left to right. Okay, now open your eyes and I want you to turn sideways. Turn to your left. So facing left. Yeah, good. I want you to feel. Notice I'm not going to say this. I'm not going to tell you bend over, touch your toes, because you're going to do anything to get there. Listen to me very clearly. I want you to hang any way that you can. I don't care how far you go down toward your toes. Feel where the limitations are, where the tightness is. I'm going to be looking for certain deviations. So go ahead, everybody, try that. Okay, come back up. I would like you two to change positions. And would like everybody else to open up their eyes. Okay, so Dad, back up a little bit. Right there. Move to your left a little bit. And I want you to just hang and bend over and just wherever your body will take you. No, go ahead and start bending over.
You've already told me I'm a train wreck.
Well, look, remember, what are you using to get over there? So come back up. What I want the audience to look at is, where is he bending from? Is he, everybody looks here, if the pelvis is here, the upper back's here and the head's here, is he bending at the lower back and hips, or have they moved zero and all he does is bend from the shoulders? So go ahead and look at that. Nothing from the hip, nothing from the hip, and the body stops. So where, when you bring your hands back to touch your legs, where are you touching?
On the thigh.
No, go ahead and bend over and touch your legs. Where is it? The knee, below the knee, where is it?
Just below the knee.
It's like the shin.
Okay, come back up. And now you know why God gave women childbirth, because there's not a chance you'd have a functional childbirth. Okay? Women are just so much stronger. But I will tell you that I love the idea you're starting there, because my goal is not to get you to your toes. My goal is to get your pelvis to begin some of the movement without you having to think about it.
Yep.
So I want everybody to think about this. We're going to turn you into a hip-driven athlete from this point out. You have no excuse but to be better. And we'll know it by your balance improving, your forward hang improving, and then turn and face me now, everybody. Now drop your arms. And I want you to close your eyes and think about the most negative situation that's ever happened to you in your life. Think of the crappiest moment in your life, and I want you to feel it. And I want you to let it grab a hold of you, like feel it. And now give it a color. And open your eyes. Okay. Keep the color to yourself. Okay. I want you to get your feet now dead straight and fist width apart at the big toes. So your fist is about maybe three, four inches wide like this. Your toes are no wider than that. They're not way out here. They're not turned out. They're perfectly straight. Now toe them slightly in 3 to 5 degrees like that. Slightly turned in. Now what that'll do is that's going to trap a muscle at your hip called your psoas, which attaches on the inside of the bone and then runs straight up your pelvis through to your spine, a game changer muscle. But now we have it trapped. And for those of you watching, when you look at his shoulders in the blue shirt, are his shoulders level? They're not even close. Are her shoulders level? No, the left one's down. And it almost looks like the right one's coming toward me, like I'm a little rotated.
I'm like,
And guys, this is not one of these things where I judge that. Who cares? Your body's what you would call out of alignment. I call right where it should be, but we're going to make it more efficient. So now put your hands in a fist with your thumbs up like you're hitchhiking, and then open up your hands to that position so your palms are visible. So here's this. Now make it that. There. So you could put your palms and fingernails together. Keep your hands in that position, drop them to your sides, thumbs are out. Now, when I say pull your shoulder blades together, I don't want you lifting up like this. I want you sliding your shoulder blades back. So it'll feel like you're sticking your chest out a little bit. Hold that. Just hold that alone. Now, for those of you watching, look at his shoulder level. It's already more level. But he can't walk around like that. So now bring your arms with them in that position. Bring your arms straight out to your sides, palms down, thumbs forward. You just moved, so check your foot position. That's okay. Just check your foot position. Shoulder blades are down and back. You have some tension between your shoulder blades. And circle up and forward 40 times. Go. This is where I would normally be playing some rock music, but we don't want to pay the royalties.
You can just sing.
You don't want, oh no, you don't want any part of that. You realize the migraines we'd have after that. So one thing I don't want you to do is your arm should be here, but I don't want it coming forward so you can see it out of your periphery. Have it directly out from your shoulder. And the first time I was shown this exercise done correctly like this, because everybody and their mother thinks they do arm circles right, and they don't, was by Pete Egoscue and going, we're going to train your hips. And I'm like, dude, what are you kidding me? I know anatomy. This is a shoulder, mid back, upper back. That's where the action is. But the reaction is down the chain. Same hand position. Bring your arms out, shoulders down and back. If you move, check your foot position. Now go palms up and circle up and back 40 times. Turn those thumbs back. More. There we go. 40 of those. And don't lose count or we start over. Thumbs back, thumbs back. And for those of you doing this, I know you feel the work, but it's not so much work that you can't get it done.
No, you feel it though, for sure.
Now, hands in this position. Put them right here against your temples, right behind your ear or your eye. This is your eye, right? Yeah, good, right there. And now let your knuckles roll and close the elbows together and then open them back up and try to touch them behind you. One, two, three, thumbs down, four, five, six, keep going. You're going to go to 20 of these. If you ask what this is gliding that shoulder blade across the upper back. It's gliding it. Pull the elbows back. We're teaching the upper body how to sit in a different position to create a response at the pelvis to give us a hip-driven mom and dad, a hip-driven kid, a hip-driven athlete. Okay, drop your arms, interlace your hands together, shoulders down, palms away, take it straight up over your head. Look up at your hands, not crazy look up, just look up at your hands, elbows straight, shoulders down at the neck. So drop the shoulders, but lock your arms out. And then I know in a dress shirt, this makes it a lot harder in a dress shirt. I get it. But try to lock those arms out so they're straighter at the elbow. Even if you have to move your arms forward like this to make it easier on your shoulder, I have no problem with that. Eventually, you'll be able to bring it back without leaning your spine back. You got about 20 more seconds. Have we done any work at the hip?
No.
All the action is at the shoulders and mid-back. But the diaphragm sits at the base of the rib cage, right underneath it like an umbrella. So any change that you make in the mid-back affects how that diaphragm is going to work. So we're actually increasing your breathing efficiency, and you breathe over 22,000 times a day. Kind of important.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, drop your arms now. Walk your feet out wherever you want them. Okay, just stand there for a second. So for those of you watching, look at her shoulder level compared to where she was before. His shoulder's still slightly down on that right side, but not where it was. What does it feel like to you guys standing there now? And it could be worse. I'm going to give you the choice. Better or worse?
Better.
Yeah. Why?
More stable.
Just feels, yeah.
So with your eyes closed, where's your balance left to right, front to rear? Is it still right heel, left ball?
No, it's a little bit more left heel, right toes.
Okay.
And for me, it's about the same. It's less so, but it's still right heel, left ball, but less so.
Correct. Correct. But just hear me out. This is very, very important that you understand this about Egoscue. I would ask you to write this down because it's this profound. You ready? We have some work to do, but I want you to turn sideways. And now for the crowd again, I want you to bend over and just hang there. Again, I don't care about distance. I want to know what it feels like to you. What's different about it?
That just feels easier. It feels more stable.
Did we stretch you?
I don't think so.
Correct. That's why flexibility training to us is a waste of time if you don't go after why is he tight in the first place. So face me again, eyes closed, everybody.
Toes pointed?
Nope. Wherever you want your feet. Remember, we don't consciously change posture unless we're going through the exercises. Go back to that negative situation. Go back to that crappy event and feel it. Let it get a hold of you again. And now give it a color. And I dare you to make it the same color as it was before. What's the difference?
I couldn't make it that color. Yeah.
Okay, better question. So you couldn't make it the same color. I get that, which means I can assume something. Why didn't it have the emotional hold on that it did before?
Because I'm aligned differently.
100%. The base of the triangle is now more stable. So imagine a situation where your kid goes like this and smacks you, because I know parents listening to this have had it happen. It's really hard not to take that personal. Your child hit you. Don't give control over to that situation, because we know your child didn't consciously mean to. So I'm not saying that you need to take it. I'm saying be careful of it. But if you don't take it personally, you sure as heck can take it seriously and not put yourself in that situation again. But if you take it personally, then you're in the place where that movie, Far From a Tree, when I started bawling like a two-year-old, when you took my bottle away, is when the lady said, I really need to bring somebody in to help me because I'm starting to hate my own child. That's a problem.
Yep.
Right? But I understand where you're coming from. So let's give you those to put you in a position of success. And with your coaching and what you're taking them through, I think you're going to see, even with the clients that you have already, and I'm sure from this, you'll get a lot more, but I'm sure from them going through your coaching and stuff, I think you're going to see an increase in the efficiency on what they're learning for themselves and how they handle situations. So the Egoscue method is all about posture, which affects pain, performance, and now it's seriously preventative for you in the future.
Is it fair to say, Brian, that in a way, these exercises and focusing on posture, like for me, it felt like I was actually removing myself from the fight or flight state. Like I was actually like, so when I envisioned the color, I couldn't get the same color again because I felt like I was out of the fear response of revisiting that situation. And I was just coming at it from much more of a place of strength.
That's the science behind it.
Well, the crazy thing is I couldn't even bring that first vision back.
Let's say you guys were marriage and family counselors. Can you imagine what you would do for the divorce rate if every fight that started, you know what? I'm pissed off. I was going to say this, but I'm going to go into the other room and do a couple exercises first, come back and go like this. Why was I so upset? We allow ourselves, which is where a book like this comes into play. Number one comes into play. Can you imagine if you had a different response to everything based on the four agreements? Can you imagine if nobody's been dealt a worse situation than Viktor Frankl was in the concentration camps, but keeping his eye on the game, which was my wife and child, my wife and child, my wife and child, they're out there somewhere, and guys around him had no focus and died. Yep. Same situation, different response. And that's why we're so successful. I'm not bragging about what the Egoscue method does, but I got to pat ourselves on the back for being great listeners and providing the needs of the customer sitting in front of us.
Well, just like Viktor Frankl, the beauty of what he did is he found that space to respond instead of reacting. So it seems like the exercises are just yet a different way of tapping into that ability to choose a response instead of reacting.
100%. Guys, I want to put this up here for a second. This is a post off of my Instagram that has the book. So It's under the Brian Bradley, but just understand I'm not that narcissistic. Brian Bradley was taken by a Tampa Bay hockey player, so he wouldn't sell it to me. But I want to show you a picture that I have on there, a video. Like this is a little kid going through one of our exercises, falling asleep in static back. You'll see this on there. You'll see that the human body should be able to always get into positions like that with no issues. We become tighter and lose mobility over time. But I thought this was one of the coolest ones. This is a house in Japan who put this in their house for the development of their kids. Yeah, there's three of them that aren't loading for some reason. And I think it's one of them.
We can also link it in the show notes. Oh my God.
They put a climbing wall in their living room.
Amazing.
So that's somebody who really understands it's up to me to develop my child physiologically. And autism and the diagnosis of spectrum stuff basically tells someone your kid's going to be at home with you a lot more than other kids. So create the environment to play.
Well, and set that foundation for the future's potential.
It's not work if you, Peter Gosky said to me a long time ago, no, thank you for the gift. And somebody just verbally punched him in the mouth. And he said to himself, no, thank you for the gift. I walked back in and I said to him, it's like watching a kid grow and being proud of their reaction. I'm proud of how you reacted to what was just said about you. And he said, well, why would I give them control of me? Mm-hmm. And that's, pain is a signal. It's an opportunity. That's all it is. If you guys have any questions, if you want to do this again with an open Q&A to a lot of your members, we can handle.
You know, oh my God, I would love it. Brian, this was amazing. So thank you so much for this.
Let's do it again. Hey, part two is, you already heard Brian talk too long, which is why you have a headache. I get that. But secondly, now let's open it up to their questions.
Yeah.
Love to.
That sounds fantastic. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. And we will definitely do this again.
I appreciate you guys and giving me the opportunity. This was, I love a lot of subjects, but this is a fun one because the recipient can just make that little shift. And the physiological stuff that Egoscue gives you is no more pain, no more emotional response. And we're just excited to provide the help.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Brian.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks again.
Want to learn how to avoid the 33 mistakes most autism parents make? Get your free training today. Visit autismparentingsecrets.com/unstoppable.